Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
How about that? How about that? It had been a while. It took all the way to game two of the Western Conference Finals, but we finally got ourselves a good old-fashioned Dubcon 3 in the form of a 39-24 third quarter. The Warriors trail by 15 at half. Nobody's sweating. They come out. They win the third quarter by 15. They win the fourth by 3. They win the game 114-111. And your Golden State Warriors now have a 2-0 series lead over the Portland Trail Blazers. Series now shifting to the great state of Oregon. Saturday night, 6 p.m. at the Moda Center is the tip time. But today, the focus is on what we saw last night. And what we saw was awesome, Dibs.
It was unbelievable. It was the zigzag theory, as you like to say, but within one game. Instead of a two-game zigzag, it was one half zig and the other half zag. Steph Curry again, unbelievably electric. Draymond Green, five-tool player, doing it in all ways. Jordan Bell off the bench. It was just an incredible night, the way they came back from 17 down. And credit Portland, who took the Warriors' Dubcon 3 punch right in the kisser, the big two-piece. They fought back again. It was an incredible second half.
Throughout the course of these games, I take notes, little quips, little things that never make it into the show, some things I'm very excited about. The one thing I wrote down after the way that game ended, Andre Iguodala is Bruce Lee. That's it. That was the best analogy I could draw from what I saw. Quick hands, and then before you know it, like a ninja. He shoots off the court. He's in the locker room. That's it. Everybody else is left to hug and celebrate. Portland's left to figure out where it went wrong. Once again, the biggest of moments. You know Lillard's getting the ball. You know he needs a three. Iguodala's getting assigned to him like he's been to James so many times in the past. And he finds a way to prevent the shot from even getting into the air. Closing the show on the big stage when it matters most.
He's absolutely amazing. Andre, what he brings, the intangibles that he brings to this team. I don't know if the guy found the fountain of youth. We sat there during the season and said, okay, let's give him a pass. But when the playoff starts, we got to see Andre do something, because right now he's a lion and a thief. He lied and he said he could play basketball and he's a thief because he's stealing their money. But my goodness, when the playoff starts and the brightest and the light shines the brightest, you know Andre Iguodala is going to be there like a bright light shining in the night. Continue to grind, big boy. Continue to grind.
That last night was historic on many levels. First and foremost, it was the second largest halftime comeback in a playoff game in franchise history for the Golden State Warriors. They trailed by 15. The largest of all time is a 20-point comeback. Does anyone remember the game?
I was at that game with the family.
You were mushing that game in the eyes of many.
Allegedly, yes. It was the Spurs game from a small handful of years ago.
Yeah, you got it. It was the 2017 Western Conference Finals. Game one, the Warriors trailed by 20 at the half. Now, historical fact number two, Steve Kerr just became the fourth head coach in postseason history with multiple 15-point halftime comebacks. That's now two for Kerr in the postseason. There are only three other coaches who have presided over such a feat. Number one, Joe Mullaney. Number two, old Glenn Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
And number three.
We saw that one.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a couple days, a couple weeks
back. Yeah, I don't know why when I wrote that down, that did not click for me. Yeah, we live that.
We lived
that. Just a couple weeks ago.
That
one should count for two because it was a 31-point overall deficit.
Absolutely. But,
you know, yeah. A couple of different 15-pointers in there.
He had two of them.
Yeah.
Number three, Don Nelson.
Don Nelson, yeah.
Don Nelson.
Oh, Donnie.
Did you know that?
I was going to guess.
Pull
that. No, no, no.
As I was saying, you said it.
That was a total low. He, right after you said it, Don Nelson, he come on.
I was going to guess it, but I feel a little vulnerable about being wrong and, you know, perhaps facing consequences therein.
Yeah, because this show is just all about its accuracy, and very rarely is there a mistake to be made.
I did have a perfect game going at that point, Joe, at 6:04.
Oh, my God.
It was an early perfecto.
You low so bad, and then you went, oh, no, I was going to say that. Oh, my God.
Don Nelson.
Yeah.
Joe, everyone knows that. It was Nelly. By the way, we're going to live stream the show again today in the final hour. It is unbelievably popular.
Wow.
And some of you are just unbelievably rude.
I don't
taking
like
to the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, trying to tear us down
for how
we look. Well, I got a special treat for you today. Low looks like the abominable snowman. He's just completely decked out in white. The abominable low man. You can check out the abominable low man today at 9 o'clock, 957thegame.com. It's a good look. I'm not saying it's a bad look. I'm trying to tease to 9 o'clock.
Trust me. They'll let me know about it. They will definitely let me know.
Historical fact number three. Believe it or not.
Sorry. Just making sure. In case there's a trivia question coming.
Believe it or not, that was the ninth time under Steve Kerr that the Warriors have come back from 15 or more down in a game in the playoffs. Nine times. So this is the fifth postseason run under Steve Kerr. There have now been nine games in which the Warriors at some point during the game have trailed by 15 or more and then come back to win. No other team in that entire span has more than four of those. The Warriors have nine. Now, we'll have plenty more on how this happened and what's coming next, the KD update, all of that today. Your guests, Tim Roy at 8:30, Gary St. Jean at 9:30, Joe Rogan tickets to give away at 8:45. People want to know, this was big on social last night, and we like to tie the on-air stuff to the social component. This show is a living, breathing organism. It does not end at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I was wondering if people would still be interested in you being offered the opportunity to bend the knee. You had the Warriors in seven. It's starting to look like that might not happen. Rather than deal with a funeral down the road for being wrong, the opportunity to bend the knee was present after game one. You did not want to take that option. It was your right to do so. I was thinking maybe we give them the opportunity again after game two, but the people on social, they were not too kind. They basically were sending me GIFs of dragons burning people to death,
saying,
this is what he is not allowed to bend the knee.
It's Dracarys.
But here's the thing people have to realize.
Literally no one is interested in giving you that opportunity. They want to see you burn.
And that's what's so crazy, and that's why I have to go to my queen. You got to realize, last night, Portland, they had a perfect opportunity to win that game. They should have, could have had the opportunity, and they didn't. It was a great game. And everyone, all of a sudden after the game, everyone wants to jump in. During the game, why don't you guys say all this stuff? When they're down by 15, no one was saying. Everyone was quiet as a church mouse. Mm-hmm. That game by Portland should have been won, and now everyone was talking about a funeral. No, I'm not bending the knee.
You're just going to ride this thing out?
Portland showed me something last night. Nope, they showed you guys something too last night.
They played very hard. They played well, but they still ended up losing. That game leads into one of the key questions for today. Was that a backbreaker? You lose game one, fine. You shake that one off. But you had that. Kerr even said after the game that the Warriors stole it. You can go through stat. Myers Leonard gave him good minutes last night. Cantor played well. They knocked down their threes.
Everything shifted from a mathematical
standpoint.
Dame didn't play of his best. Dame down to 23. You look at that. If Dame plays a little bit better, they win that game. You know, Steph's brother, he steals the ball in ball, makes a little layup right before half, have an opportunity to go up.
Seth had a nice game last night.
Four steals for Seth.
Nice game. He was still
a few of those were on his brother.
Yeah, it was. And one of them, just a simple layup. I had a question for you guys. You know, I was thinking, just watching different things and just my life going on. If a guy is a...
What a setup.
If a situation occurs, Dan, and a guy's... He's playing a football game, and he goes in for one play because I'm in there tying his shoe, and the guy plays 1 minute, and the other guy plays 40 minutes. I play 40. The guy who played the 40 minutes as a starter, but it just because I tied a shoe didn't mean that guy is necessarily a starter.
Oh, so this isn't a question.
It's like Thurman Thomas in the Super Bowl, who couldn't start famously because his helmet was in the locker room.
Right.
He ultimately was the starter on that Bills team, although he didn't start the game in that case.
What's the issue you're getting at here?
He's getting into, I think, his bench versus bench scoring prop, because Andrew Bogut technically was the starter, but he only played the one stint. Lowe's trying to find a way to weasel out of his loss on one of his many props.
It's a very interesting point.
Thank you, Joe. And all I'm sitting here saying, here's a guy
who played. I didn't say it was correct.
I'm just saying, here's a guy that got to play 29 minutes and a guy who's playing four.
Sure.
And 18. So if you do it that way, the bench only scored 18 points. 18, coach.
And, unfortunately, you don't get to do it that way.
Can I finish? And Joe, and here's another thing. Another one, I said Draymond Green is going to outscore Andre Iguodala.
You did.
I said he was going to have a good game. If you look at this, if you lay it out like that, I don't know. I've been bringing it to you.
I wrote down all your props, and the way I'm glancing at it quickly, I believe you went for the big squad douche. So the great run may have come to a screeching halt, but we can address that on the other side.
A lot of great runs coming to a screeching halt. Game of Thrones runs coming to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
Lostradamus. Although, I will say this. No one's going to want to hear this. This entire room took Portland plus the points last night. We didn't pick them to win the game, but we said Portland plus the points. We put money in your pocket. Lowe also called the over last night. He's putting money in your pocket, so you can tear him down on the Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95 all you want.
Yeah, please
and you
do.
Can watch us on the stream starting at 9 o'clock at 957thegame.com. You can tear him down then, too. But just remember, the man was putting some cheese in your pocket last night. A Kevin Durant update. And let's pay some tribute to Draymond freaking Green next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
I am the greatest.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Wow. Golden State 114, Portland 111 in an absolute thriller, a throwback, a Dubcon 3 spectacular. You name it, you got it last night. That was awesome. Game 3, Saturday, 6 p.m. at the Moda Center in Portland. As always, Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by our friends at Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk to Tim Roy about that and more today at 8:30. Point spreads out for Game 3. No one's going to be locked into this until the end of the show. We will make our predictions at the end of the show, but initial take, because I don't think anyone's seen it yet, Portland minus 2.5, over under 221 for game 3. Any initial leans? We're just leaning here. It's that gangsta lean. You're not committing to anything. No one has to put a ring on it. Everyone can relax.
Lean back.
I was thinking the same thing, little Fat Joe.
Exactly.
We met him in the old studio about 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's
career highlight for him.
That was crazy how I kind of drew you in there.
My initial lean is Warriors in that one, because you go up there as a Golden State team knowing you need one of two. The first of the two, probably easier. I think you give the big effort for game three. My early lean is take the Warriors and the points, because betting against the Warriors is just not good sense.
My early lean is Portland, of course, and it's the over. Portland over.
He didn't even give the over-under.
It's not just, I did, 221.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my fault.
It's, hey, ballpark. Yeah. You heard some of it.
Yeah, right.
I was too busy thinking about my joke.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
He comes out now. He could say, I lean to Portland in the over. He goes, Portland, of course.
Right.
And the over. To imply as if everyone should know he's coming in
hot
on Portland.
I have my knees, too. I'm thinking about my knees.
Bending the knee?
Yeah.
You might be given that opportunity. It's going to come down to the people. I like to view myself as I'm not a mad king. I'm a fair ruler. I want the people to have a say in how things play out. Why are you smirking over there? Why don't you figure out what desserts you brought in? She just had to call her husband. What's the name of this cake?
Because it's the Greek festival, the Oakland Greek festival this weekend.
Right.
And thank you for bringing in the treats. And we were asking during the break, what did you bring? What the heck is that thing? And she didn't know her own desserts.
No, only one of them. Hold on.
No, me.
No, no, no. There was one I was like, I couldn't remember. There's okay. First off, let me.
Yes. So like Dibs said,
back up the truck.
You didn't know the dessert.
Back up the truck.
This is one I don't personally.
You know what?
Yeah. Is it Greek?
Yes.
Are you Greek?
Yes.
Case closed.
Right. We'll rest our case. Joe, you're talking about.
It is nice that you brought these in, though, but we're not allowed to eat them until in the 9 hour, because we want the live stream to be able to see the beautiful food. Some of the beautiful food they'll be able to have at the Greek festival this weekend.
Exactly. Like today I brought in some galactoburico for you guys.
No one knows what you're talking about. No one knows what you're talking about. You got to Americanize it for everybody. Powdered donut. Just say that. We got powdered donut, piece of chocolate, coffee cake.
And
fair enough, right?
No.
There's that rich one that tastes like almond.
There's a custard one.
There's
about
the flaky
that?
One that I like.
Has the,
it's better
the
than
nuts,
Jell-O.
You said.
Yeah, Jell-O, Jell-O with Jell-O nuts.
That's right. Jell-O with acorns.
And no, Joe, you are not the Mad King. By no, sir. You are middle.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what you said. That
yeah,
you know,
this morning he told me he has a Game of Thrones character for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I told him I didn't want to hear it until we got on air.
He is not. He's talking about I'm not the Mad King. You're nowhere near the Mad King. You're middle finger. That's who you are. You start. You start so much problems. What's his name?
Littlefinger.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Ballpark.
No, ballpark.
Littlefinger.
Was that not ballpark? Was that not ballpark?
Sure.
He has you his middle finger.
Middle finger. As he's saying it.
Little finger.
In my mind, I'm telling myself, I don't know why I thought it would be anything other than that. If you had handicapped it as, is he going to pick Littlefinger? Right. He's going to pick the character. Right. He's not going to say Littlefinger.
Right, right. That's, wow.
AKA Mayor Carsetti from The Wire.
Right, right.
And also he was in, he was the manager in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Good actor, that middle finger.
Yeah, middle finger's doing a hell of a job. He's all over the place.
He's all over the place, making some money now.
Speaking of all over the place.
Yes.
Where are we at on Draymond Green? Is this, have we gotten to a point now where we realize this is foolishness to think down the road that somehow he'll play for another team? The guy's John Belushi. And the reason I'm bringing John Belushi into the show is because I'm listening to that audiobook on the creation and the history of Saturday Night Live. So it's very early stages. This is Belushi. Belushi was absolute genius. Absolute genius. One of the absolute best to ever do it. But there were times where there was a lot of turmoil. There were a lot of issues. People could find it difficult to work with him. You couldn't necessarily always bank on him emotionally. But when the lights went on Saturday night, he was an absolute star. And that's kind of Draymond, in my opinion. During the regular season, there are some issues. There's the KD thing. There's the text, the Steve Kerr thing that we all – Kerr didn't realize he was on camera. And then you get to the playoffs and Durant goes down. And when you absolutely – at the most critical point of your season, need big performances from your stars. He has been huge. Steph will always get the headlines. Draymond has been huge. First of all, he's shooting 52% from the floor in the playoffs. That's a career high. Last night, 16 points, 10 boards, 7 assists, 5 blocks, unbelievable defense, only played 33 minutes. The guy has been incredible.
He is fantastic, and I like the comparison to Belushi because you think about those Saturday Night Live days, and they had Chevy Chase, you had Steve Martin, you had Dan Aykroyd.
You know Chevy Chase only 1 year?
Yeah, monster performances, though, and that's kind of like the KD figure. He came in, and he went out to go on and do his own thing. I had Clay as Dan Aykroyd, kind of the quirky contributor, and Steve Martin, monster career. Spanning multiple decades.
You did that quickly. Nicely done.
You took me back to that because I remember John Belushi, and he was so incredible on Saturday Night Live. Of course, Blues Brothers and Animal House. That's right in my childhood. And you look at what Draymond Green does for this team, and it is somewhat similar because he argues with KD on the court, and he challenges refs. He gets flagrants. He gets teched up. He argues with Steve Kerr, yet look again last night. 16-10-7. And, oh, by the way, 5 blocks. What he did to Seth Curry, he's erasing shots at the rim, on the perimeter, running the point, throwing the alley hoop. The guy is unbelievable.
He had a play that he recognized. He diagnosed it. So it'll only show up as 2 points in the box score. 1-for-1, 2 points. I want to say it was in the third quarter during the run where he took his fists. He was out near the top of the key, and he banged them together like this. Now, you hear my watch jiggling around, and you can't really see what I'm doing. But banged his fists. Pretend like you're going to do the double middle finger to someone. Don't actually do it, and then just bang the fist together. That was the signal. And I caught that for some reason. And I thought, what does that mean? And immediately, I can't remember who it was, came out to set a pick, and he just made a break for the bucket. Because whoever was coming out brought the defender with him. Draymond saw that this was going to happen, shot for the rim, immediately had the ball fed to him, got right to the rack, dunked it, and went back the other way. It was a beautiful bucket. He is playing so next level. Slap me with this audio next year when we get into the regular season and I start coming out with some analysis of how he's gone, his game's not going to translate well in the future, you can't afford to spend the money there. I've come fully around. This is when it matters most. He's rising up again. I don't ever want to see him in another uniform.
Isn't that amazing? He's a guy that people can sit there and say, okay, because maybe he doesn't, last night he scored, but people can look and say, you know, he's expendable and all those different things. He's not. I don't think there's a player that means more to this team than Draymond. Yeah, he does all the things that you need. He is like the center to the quarterback, the understanding, making the calls, making sure the line's going to slide away to let Steph be able to get those shots and let, you know, KD and all those guys be able to shine because he's quarterbacking it. He is that freaking center that's making the slide calls, pointing guys in the right direction. Where's the pressure coming from? That block that he had on Steph's brother, on Steph, on that three-pointer, he ran out to that line and just I was like, that was like Zion closing out that one game. Remember that? I was like, oh my God, Draymond, stop it. I was like, stop it, boy. Don't hurt nobody.
How are you going to do your boy's little brother like that?
Hey, did you see that he didn't do his usual stare down, glower, and scream at him out of respect for the Curry family?
Yeah.
Just shows you how present he is to know in that moment, as amped up as he was, you don't do that to Seth.
Also, Steph, Dell and Sonya standing and cheering as Seth knocks down threes last night.
So what, Joseph?
It's Oakland. What are you doing?
Yeah, and I thought we agreed Steph was the favorite child.
Yeah.
I thought we covered off on that.
It is kind of a cool moment to see because Sonya's so excited that Seth's having this big game, and it's like, this is Oakland, and it's like, ah, that's got to be such a ridiculous moment as parents to watch that play out.
And they keep paying right toward them. The cameras go right to the dad and mom, and they're just having a great time. Yeah, it just made my heart filled with joy.
All right. All right, here's another thing that might fill your heart with joy because the Chilton Auto Body text line is asking for it. Yes, there will be a beef line today at 7:30. If you want to get on low, now's the time. 415-403-8588. We are still accepting calls for today's beef line.
And also you can say who we are like as Game of Thrones characters if you like. Middle Finger's already been identified.
Yeah, I'm Middle Finger, but you got three others. Go ahead and give your characters. If you want to put us as Saturday Night Live members as well, sure. Feel free
Little
to do it.
Let's go with Middle Finger.
Okay, it's better. Okay. You took something good and you made it better. That's the whole point of life. 415-403-8588. The Kevin Durant update is next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. But first, before I completely blow the segment, which is brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. Here's Anna with what's coming up on The Game.
All right, Joe, what's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. The Warriors storm back down from 17 points and steal one from Portland.
Lillard with the dribble. Comes hard left side. Tries to hold off Iguodala. Stripped and stolen. Andre stolen. He's stolen. Steph Curry throws it up at the horn. It doesn't matter. The game's over. Andre Iguodala.
Tim Roy with the call here on 95.7 The Game. Dubs rally to a 114-111 victory, taking a 2-0 lead on the Blazers. We'll talk to the voice of the Warriors this morning at 8:30, and the series shifts to Portland for Game 3 tomorrow, which you can listen to right here on 95.7 The Game. Now, Golden State will be without Kevin Durant for Games 3 and 4. The team announced yesterday he has shown good progress but is not ready to advance to on-court work. Steve Kerr said it's a little more serious than initially thought, so the guys will talk about the injury and when they believe he will return. As for Boogie, he's progressed to on-court work but is still not ready for live action. Could the Warriors get past Portland and beat the East without either of those stars? Joe Lo and Diz will talk to the saintly one, Gary St. Jean, at 9:30. Coming up, there's still time for Beef Line Calls. The best calls will air at 7:30. So bring it, everyone. I'm Anna Kagadaikis on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Diz continues on 95.7 The Game.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 from the 408. Lorenzo is Hodor. Anna Hodor. Is Aya Hodor. Stark. Hodor. So says Hodor. Gus from Sleepy Southside, San Jose.
Hodor. I'm not Hodor.
Hodor.
Hodor. I didn't know what I thought he was saying. That was his name. No, he was saying I gotta hold the door. I was like, oh my goodness. That
was
so
the
deep.
Great revelation at the end of that episode.
Yes, yes. I'm getting so many things out of this. Oh, it's amazing.
For those who are unaware, a couple weeks ago, Lo started watching Game of Thrones. So he's been doing these videos with Anna where he's been giving you his Game of Thrones reviews, but like 5 years too late.
So great.
Somehow this morning we find out that he is all the way caught up to this season. And he has until Sunday night
to
watch the five episodes leading into Sunday's season finale. He's going to be watching it with us, and then come Monday, he's going to be all the way caught up. So as part of the theme today, Beefline, 415-403-8588, the characters on this show, who would we be in Game of Thrones? Lo has dubbed me Middle Finger, and you did hear that correctly, Middle Finger. But who are the rest? I like the idea of Hodor, and Anna gets Aya Stark, which is... I don't think you could really aim any higher than that because that's probably the best character in the entire show. All right. An update on Kevin Durant. It was not all roses last night. Bob Myers, general manager of the Golden State Warriors, sat down with Papa and Bonte Hill yesterday afternoon, had this to say.
Dr. Rick Celebrini, and he's on top of it. He's going to stay back with Kevin and do everything he can round the clock to hope that he gets back as soon as he
can.
He's
going to
stay back with him. He's going to stay back with him.
All right, so he's going to stay back. He's not going to travel to Portland for games 3 and 4, which means out for games 3 and 4. Steve Kerr later that evening with more on Kevin Durant.
You know, hopefully he continues to progress, and he has made progress, but, you know, it's a little more serious than we thought at the very beginning, and so we'll see where it all goes. But he's in there all day long getting treatment. He's done a great job of committing himself to that process. Rick and his staff are in there all day. Hopefully he'll be back at some point.
All right. The team announced themselves that the process is ongoing, but he will not be reevaluated for another week. That was said yesterday, which puts the reevaluation at next Thursday. Just to bring you up to speed, Game 5 is at Oracle, if necessary. It's awesome to be able to say that. If necessary, Game 5 at Oracle next Wednesday. So Durant will not appear, guaranteed, through the first 5 games of this series. In addition, yesterday, when this announcement came down, was the 2-week date for when Game 1 of the Finals will take place. Game 1 of the Finals starts, no matter how the rest of this plays out, Game 1 of the Finals is Thursday, May 30th, right? So yesterday marked 2 weeks to the start of the NBA Finals. So let's begin with this. We'll get to whether or not we see him in this series. Do you think he's ready for the NBA Finals if the Warriors find themselves playing in the final series of the season?
I do. It's 2 weeks from yesterday, so a reevaluation would be the 23rd, and a week after that, he would have a chance to be ready to roll for Game 1 of the NBA Finals. I think if you give him 2 more weeks, assuming, of course, the Warriors do what they need to do against Portland, no matter how many games it takes, go ahead and count KD out for this series, short of a Game 7, perhaps. I think he will be ready by the 30th. It's a calf strain that's more severe than we previously thought, but it's not so bad that he needed immediate surgery. So I think that he will fight, and he will make it back.
2 weeks from yesterday is the start of the NBA Finals. Will he be ready for Game 1 if the Warriors find themselves in that position?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I was laughed at and made a mockery of. You guys sit here and play stuff, played all kinds of drops, and it sat there. And you heard Dibs.
Sounds personal.
Yeah, it is.
Sounds familiar, is what it sounds.
And the big fellow over there, Daniel Joe, when you asked him, he said, I think so. And he twists his head to the side. You watch. You know, you pick up different little signals. And when he said, I think so, there was a pause there, like he puckered. Like, you know, when you're pushing and you're thinking, okay, I think so. I understand
Yeah,
now.
I got a constipated 5-month-old, so yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Aww, so, bring out the prunes.
He's fine. It's fine. He doesn't have to pay taxes. He doesn't have to work. He's fine. Okay? I don't want to hear anything about that being a real-world issue. He is just fine.
That's his biggest issue.
He gets massaged every night, for crying out loud.
It's the good life.
But he's doing okay.
He's
fine. Dad, I like how Dad put it. Let him work it out. But that's the thing that you have to look at, and I can see now it's for reason for pause, and you're starting to work this thing out, and you're like, okay, is it possible that this guy may not play anymore this year, whether he's a Warrior next year or a Warrior somewhere?
Oh, we're back to this. Okay, I see the point you're getting at now. We made a mockery of you, I do remember that now.
And now all of a sudden, people were saying he's going to be back Game 3. Oh, Game 4 for sure. Oh, Game 5, this guy's back. He's not. Guess what? Newsflash, he's not. This is a situation now. What's up to the individual strain, whether it's a grade 1, grade 2 right there. He's in a situation where he's like, man, he's going to make the best decision. And you guys got to kick the can down the road a little bit and don't use your head. Don't use your hat as a hat rack. Use your head as a hat rack. Think about what's going on with this guy. Just the whole team. Look at the way they're gelling. Look at the chemistry. Look at Draymond. Look at these guys.
They're like Magellan. They're so gelling.
They are. And it's like, I know they're better with KD, but does everyone really believe that they're better with KD now after what we're seeing? Everyone's going to sit there and say, oh, yeah, they're saying the right thing. There are so many people out there, if he comes back and he comes in and they happen to lose the first game against Milwaukee or Toronto, man, they didn't need KD. He messed them up. You know that's the narrative. No matter what happens, if they don't win, KD's going to be talked about. But if KD plays and they lose, he's going to be ridiculed. I think he has a better chance of coming back if he doesn't play
than he does play, and they win or lose.
A better chance of coming back to the team next year is what you're saying.
Yes.
Next year.
I just think right now, I think he's in a situation, Joe, where he cannot win. How can he win right now by coming back when you think about the way the team is playing, where everyone else is getting involved? Steph Curry looks like he's back to old Steph Curry.
Well, here's the thing. The biggest problem is not that they're winning without him. Because this broke out again last night. At halftime, all over social media,
everyone still want to say the Warriors are better without Durant. That's a great take.
And then, of course, they come back to win, and then the argument starts again. They're better without Durant. It's not. Look, once and for all, this is what people are missing. So we will bring clarification to the subject. The Warriors are not a better basketball team without Kevin Durant. However, they're a more exciting team without Kevin Durant. They're more fun without Kevin Durant. And that's what people are enjoying right now. Like, we are back to these days of, like, down 2-1 against Memphis. We got to figure it out. Back to these days where you're down 3-1 against Oklahoma City. Someone needs to step up big. The Durant days, as Clay has said, he's the ultimate luxury. They became the best of the best. But it's like Citizen Kane, widely regarded as the greatest movie of all time. You ever watch Citizen Kane?
It's a long one. It's a long one, Coach. I've seen it many times.
It's long. It's dramatic. It's slow. It's, quite frankly, it can be very tedious and very boring. But it is widely regarded as the greatest movie of all time because it broke a lot of boundaries and it was very innovative given the time. But that wasn't the most exciting movie. Right? Like, no one's going to go out and hand an Oscar to the Fast and the Furious, but there's a reason they've made like 10 of those things. People like them. They're exciting. And that's the difference between the Warriors with Durant and without. With Durant, Citizen Kane, greatest of all time. Very difficult to say anything negative about it. Darn near perfect.
Expectations are too high with Durant, though. That's the thing that people have to realize, too. A lot of times when Kevin Durant is on the court and things happen, expectations are goes through the roof. I understand, is it rightfully so? Maybe. But you see, it's when he's on the court, if he's there, people, they should dominate. They should do that. I just think that it's a tough situation for this team right now.
Dibs, you got Shaquille O'Neal in that segment.
Of course I did.
So we're going to come back and we're going to make it about.
No, it's by you, big fella.
I'm at least acknowledging by it. You're not Ernie.
That was a sponge take. You dipped into the water and you soaked up everything and you left nothing for anyone else. Sponge take. See you next segment, everybody.
This is ridiculous. This is crazy.
We're going to set Dibs up nice, real nice. We're going to treat him real nice in the next segment, get all his takes on everything. But I want to put it out to you guys as well. 888-957-9570. Which version of the Warriors is more enjoyable to watch? Which one do you like watching more, the version with Durant or the version without? They're both great, but they're different. Which do you enjoy more, shall I say? 888-957-9570. That plus nothing but takes from Dibs. Coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Phone lines are juiced just the way we like it. It's Joe Lowendibs here on 95.7 The Game. Tim Roy at 8:30. Joe Rogan tickets at 8:45. Gary St. Jean at 9:30. In addition, be flying back in a big, big way today at 7:30. If you want to get down, the number is 415-403-8588. We're doing a theme today. Now, you can beef on anything you want, first and foremost. We're also doing a theme heading into the series finale of Game of Thrones. If you want to assign us as Game of Thrones characters, do so. Whatever you think would be hilarious, whatever you think would be accurate, we'll play along. Lo has already dubbed me Middle Finger. You did hear that correctly. People seem to like it, so let's figure it out for everybody. 415-403-8588. Also, do you want to see Lo bend the knee? He picked the Warriors in 7.
Mm.
We've given him the opportunity to surrender, but we're not sure if we're going to do it again after game 2. We will live stream the show at 9 o'clock, the final hour. You can watch the chaos take place in this room. Maybe Lo will bend the knee. Dibs had the opportunity yesterday. Maybe we'll give you an opportunity today. A lot of people just want to see you burn.
I appreciate you.
Dracarys.
I appreciate you.
Nice turnaround on all that.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. And you know what, Joe?
I'm sorry, Coach. This is supposed to be a dip segment.
Yeah, as we discussed
maybe
earlier.
After game 3.
Oh, come on.
You kept the ball until there was about 2 seconds on the shot clock, and you rifled it over to me, and I had to hoist up a 3, and that was on my ledger. So thanks again for that.
It was a sponge take, as Dib said. In the last segment, you soaked up all of the take and left nothing for anyone else.
And much like a sponge, if you don't wring it out and take care of it, you got to throw it out after a few days because it gets moldy. Much like, well, anyway. Joe, to your point about Kevin Durant, this team is not better without Kevin Durant. Now, Steph Curry is able to play in a way more often without Kevin Durant. The screen and roll, the freedom of movement, passes go up, isolations go down. But one thing everyone always seems to forget about Kevin Durant is when he is a motivated defender, this team defends at an elite level. And when you go up against Milwaukee and or Toronto, assuming they make it past Portland, you're going to need KD as much on the defensive end as you are on the offensive end. So a lot of times we look at these games, Warriors come back from 17 down, they're looking good, they're playing fast, up and down. When you take that next step and you face that tougher level of opponent, you're going to need KD on both ends.
Absolutely. And as goofy as this show can be, we are all in agreement that this team is better with him than without. We have not bought into that take. However, there is a different way to phrase it. More exciting without Kevin Durant, perhaps. More fun without Kevin Durant. You are watching a different Warriors team right now. You know, with Durant, it feels as if it's very buttoned up, it's very uniform, it's very businesslike, and it's very, very elite. It's something, like we talked about in the movie analogy, it's Citizen Kane, the greatest of all time. But Citizen Kane's not a movie you're going to throw on a Friday night with the missus if you guys are looking for a couple laughs. You're going to go to Wedding Crashers. You might go to Old School, Animal House. You might put on Fast and the Furious because you want something exciting, something enjoyable, and that's what you're getting right now. This team is not better than the team with Kevin Durant, but they're a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun to watch. I mean, the first installment we saw of this was the fourth quarter of the Houston game when the place goes silent and everyone's like, oh, my God, is this the end? And they come back to win it. Then they go to Houston in game six. I didn't think they had any business winning that game down there. And they throttle the Rockets. They hang with them the whole way and bury them. They bury the Rockets as a legitimate contender moving forward. You cannot have a conversation next year about the Rockets being legitimate. No one's going to buy into it anymore. Those days are done. Harden, Paul, it's over. You can, you know, be a nice little seed in the Western Conference, but you are not going to be viewed as a legitimate contender. And then you roll into this series. Okay, it's Portland. You beat them in game one, you look good, but last night you're down 15 at the half. Coach, it looked like it was done, and then you had the classic Dubcon 3 moment.
Yeah, you did. I was watching that. I was like, God, I'm going to throw this in the notes. Dubcon 3, here it is, back again. Down by 15, that game was over. You looked at it and you said, man, are they going to be able to, especially the way that Portland was playing defense, both in the court, you thought they were going to hold them off. And lo and behold, in the third quarter, they go on this run, unbelievable run. They're exciting, Joe. Are they more exciting? I think the biggest thing is without KD, I think the focus is different. I think the attention and detail is different. And the team plays with more vigor, more oomph, because they're not just standing around as much. The ball is moving and whizzing around. KD, they can become codependent. And it kind of have guys, and when he comes back, guys have to have that same aggressive mentality. They settled, okay, go to KD. When in doubt, go to KD. That's fine at times, but sometimes you want to see this team move around. And Steve Kerr should, the biggest coaching lesson should be from Steve Kerr. He needs to understand that he needs to pull KD in and mix things up and not have him in so much with Steph. Make sure Steph's in by himself a lot more and do certain things, because when you let the ball move and this team is playing like that and not just codependent, throw it into KD, let him do the jump shot because it's unguardable, it's unstoppable, the excitement's not there. And so I think this team can build from this. I think that they aren't better with KD. I think they're just a little bit more lackadaisical when KD's
I think
here.
Part of it is the underdog mentality that is there when KD's not around, because you realize that Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell and Alphonso McKinney and Jonas Jerebko, they all matter all of a sudden. When you have Kevin Durant and the bench comes in, even if the bench doesn't play great, you figure, okay, that's fine. Let's just go Hampton's five and put this thing away, put this team out of their misery. Without KD, you don't have that same margin. Damian Jones yesterday getting actual meaningful minutes. Jerebko and Bell, all these guys need to play well in order for you to win, and I think that adds to the excitement. It's not only the lack of isolation on the floor, it's the fact that strength in numbers is actually needed to get these wins.
We haven't even mentioned this yet. Did you see the discrepancy in the paint last night? Something that this team's had a trouble with at times. 54-32, they outscored Portland in the paint. 54-32, that's plus 22. That is the third highest playoff differential of the last 20 years. You've only seen two performances more dominant in the paint in the playoffs over the last 20 years. 54-32, they outdid the Blazers. And the Blazers have some big men. I'm not saying they're great big men, but they've got some big men.
Part of that is, I'm sorry, Joe, real quick, is just because of the shot blocking. And you look at the number of attempts.
Draymond had 5.
You look at the team as on the total had 9, so it wasn't only Draymond. And you look at the number of attempts taken in the paint. The Warriors only took 2 more shots in the paint low than Portland did, yet they scored 22 more points. Portland had a lot of misses inside, but also the block shot was a big factor.
And a lot of it because spacing, too. You have the spacing, have those big men not in there because of the fact the way that the Warriors are able to spread the ball when they're shooting and getting guys crashing to the boards. That was another second shot opportunities and stuff. That played a big factor as well.
Phone lines are open, 888-957-9570. One of the topics of conversation is the Kevin Durant story. Yesterday, of course, you have all this nonsense. First half,
where are all the people that say this team is better without Kevin Durant? What are they thinking now?
And then the Warriors storm back to win, and then you have the other half coming in. Oh, yeah, they are better without Kevin. Look, you're not better. You're not going to be better without the best player in the world, but you're going to be different. You could be more fun. That's what I'm curious in. Do you find this version of the Warriors more exciting? Do you like watching this version more? 888-957-9570. Big Rick is out on the 580. Big Rick, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning?
We're well, Rick. How are you?
So far, so good. Nice and dry so far.
Very nice.
I wanted to call in and give you guys my take on your characters about Game of Thrones. If Lo is Hodo and you're our middle finger,
yes,
and Lady Anna Kakarekis is Arya, I think Dibley would be Tyrion Lannister. But not only Tyrion, but I would say Styrian with an S. He's always stirring the pot and poking bad people.
It's good material, Big Rick. Thank you,
Big Rick. Keep yourself dry. Have a nice day.
And let's just get to content right away next time if we can, Rick. And let's put the pleasantries on hold. They're assumed.
Yeah, we're not going to yell at anybody for this, but there's no reason to ask us how we're doing. The assumption is that we're doing poorly. That's why we're here. We are doing poorly. So you can just jump right into your content. Chris in Palo Alto. Chris, thank you for the phone call. What's going on?
Yeah, hi. You know, the Kevin Durant discussion right now. Good morning to both of you. And I'm 58. I'm not young, like 20s and 30s, to see these kind of exciting almost losses into wins. So I would rather have Kevin Durant and know, as a basketball purist, that the quality of game is much better when Durant is there. The great thing about Durant is he adjusts to the team's requirements and scores and steps up when the team is not doing well, just like the team now is doing the same thing without him. So that's the beauty of Golden State Warriors. We see all this exciting game. And the team strategy, Kerr and the general manager strategy is definitely, if they had lost this game yesterday, they would have reevaluated Kevin Durant on Monday instead of next Thursday. So they want this strategy to continue to get everybody hyped up and get ready completely 100%. So when the finals comes around, when Durant is low, this team steps up and this team is playing well, or is not doing well, Kevin Durant steps up. They just want to win. The strategy is really good.
All right, Chris, we appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much for weighing in. Have a terrific Friday. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Your guests today are as follows. Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, in 90 minutes at 8:30. Gary St. Jean, our Warriors insider, at 9:30. Two other programming notes. Joe Rogan is going to play Shoreline Amphitheater on a Saturday night. We've got tickets to give away at 8:45. The Beef Line returns at 7:30. 415-403-8588. We gave Lowe the chance to bend the knee on his Warriors in 7 prediction for this series. He refused. That option was after game 1. We don't know if we want to make that option again after game 2, that offer. People on social last night, I threw it out there. Should we offer the opportunity to bend the knee? Because we now stream the show in the 9 hour. You can watch this show on 957thegame.com from 9 to 10 o'clock. And people might want to see you bend the knee, but they don't even want the offer out there.
I don't want the offer out there. Absolutely.
Really?
No, and under no circumstances. And maybe this is my my King Joffrey coming out and my kill them all sentiments as we continue to reference Game of Thrones. But he had an opportunity. We gave him a clear-cut case where he would be given mercy for what is looking like a terrible, terrible take that eventually will be funeralized. So,
is your take terrible?
Which one, though? The one about Warriors in 5?
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna find out. If the Warriors win Game 3, maybe I'll have an opportunity to bend the knee. And at that point, we can burn that bridge when we cross it.
So why did you want me to burn it after Game 1?
I wanted you to have the opportunity to bend the knee because I want to see you spare.
Yeah, at game three, if he gives me an opportunity, I'll bend the knee.
No, you had your chance.
Down 3-0, you're not going to get an opportunity to bend the knee for mercy with a 7-game prediction. We're going to look forward to the funeral take. That's what happens with a complete with casket slapping and casket tipping.
What about burning?
The slap is going to force the casket to fall off its stand, and the body is going to roll out in front of everyone. The worst of all possible scenarios to play out.
And you know what kind of hate you're putting out there to all these billions of people? You got to realize
I showed you mercy.
Mercy,
like in Braveheart. Mercy at the end of the movie.
The 707 something. Forget the knee, take the head. This is the kind
of stuff that you want.
Yesterday, I was
getting nothing when I asked if we should offer you the opportunity to bend the knee again. I got nothing but gifs of dragons burning people to death. That's what people thought.
I think we need to add the burning to the end. You need to burn the bodies at the end as well.
He doesn't get the cremation at the end. We're just
going
to take the body. We're going to throw it in the landfill. That's it. It's just going to be out there in the landfill.
Wow. Suddenly got like Breaking Bad or The Sopranos.
You offer someone an opportunity and then they're defiant. They sit there. I don't want to bend the knee. I'm not doing this. And that's fine. But now there are, as you would like to say, consequences, choices, decisions,
CDC,
and it's a bad spot to be in.
Play it safe like Anna. I can start just taking everything in the middle.
Anna picked six. She might have the opportunity to bend the knee now. Coming off 2-0, you might be in a situation where you're offered the opportunity to bend the knee.
Well, think about it. We'll think about it. I'll tell you in 9 o'clock.
Bend the knee.
I'm not there yet.
Bend the knee.
Worry about yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't end well for you, old Warriors in seven.
Guys, Portland is going to be a serious threat.
Oh my god! Why you guys are joking around? They sure won last night,
Coach.
Oh my god! Now you guys want to be all Betty Crocker? I mean, please. That was a hell of a game last night, and Portland had that game. You know it.
Did you put a wreath on your front door? Is it Christmas? Because I hear a lot of ifs and buts right now coming from you, which usually means candies and nuts, which also means we're going to have a Merry Christmas. So
Steve Kerr, sorry, finish that.
No, he's right. They should have won, but you look at the box score, and they didn't win, which makes them down 0-2.
Steve Kerr kind of agrees with you. Take a listen to the head coach after the game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.